You are listening to the Slow Living Podcast, and I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day. What if I told you that you could truly have the life of your dreams, the life you've always wanted, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose? It's absolutely possible, and I see it each and every day with my coaching clients. It all starts with learning how to slow down. You deserve to live the life you've always dreamt about. Let's get started. Hey there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We're on episode number 126 today. And today I am going to talk about yoga and my personal love for yoga. When I was thinking about what to title this episode, the first thing that came to mind was embracing yoga. And I think we're going to shift it to getting into yoga. So depending on where you are in your health and wellness journey, whether or not you've ever taken a yoga class in person or have played around with it online, the difference in my brain between embracing it and getting into it is different. And it took me a very long time to embrace it, which is why I've decided to shift it to getting into it, because if you're not there yet, if yoga isn't something that you do on a regular basis, isn't something that you plan on purpose to kind of find a way to shoehorn into your day, the idea of embracing it might not seem like, this one's not for me. So that's why we're talking about getting into it. So I am recording this in my late 40s. I am 47. And the first yoga class I ever took, I was about 18 with my friend Michelle. And it took me many years until I fully embraced it. And that first yoga class that I took at the time with my friend Michelle was a few towns away. And she told me that her mom took this yoga class and that we should do it together. And I thought, okay, sure. I think we may have had a coupon or something, or maybe her mom had paid for it. It was free. So we went, and it was an after school thing. We were in high school at the time. So then maybe I was 17-ish. And it was hot yoga. It was not Bikram, but it was hot yoga. And we put our mats near the back. And there was a door, an exit, and the instructor immediately walked right on over to us because we were teenage girls, like, okay, girls, what's going on here? And we just thought it would be a good workout and something fun to do. And I think it was, we were still in school, but during the summer, and we were headed to Hawaii, and Michelle wanted to look cute in her swimsuit. So she thought maybe yoga and hot yoga and sweating a bit would be the way to do it. We did not last long in that class. We weren't smart enough to bring water, and we were, the second the door shut and they turned the heat up to the proper temperature, we did not last in the room, and we were giggly and we were falling over, and there were all these, in our mind, old ladies in the room, and they could do it and we could not. And so we left and we Googled and we probably went to Starbucks. So that was 30 years ago. So that was my first foray into yoga. And I've always been a pretty fit person. I would never, ever call myself an athlete or someone who is naturally good at sports, because that is not me. But I grew up in California. And the fact is, I'm probably a little bit vain. And so I grew up with my mom going to different exercise classes. She would bring Jane Fonda workout videos into the house, Denise Austin. I absolutely owned a Thighmaster at one point. Rest in peace, Suzanne Summers. Had that. So kind of, I always looked at exercise as a way to keep my body shape and size a certain way. And it wasn't a way to love my body or take care of it. It was probably a way to punish it in order to stay in a certain jean size or to look a certain way or to fit into kind of like a trophy dress. My one completely and totally shifted from that. But two, I am a real person. I grew up when I grew up, and that was just the sign of the times. I wasn't behind or had backwards thinking. That just kind of is how it was at the time. So then in my 20s, Adam and I got married really young, but in my 20s, I guess maybe we're engaged. We are before getting engaged, but we did get married quite young. We were in college, and a local gym had a summer special for college students. And so we signed up for the summer schedule, summer special. And so I think it was 3 months for $99. And this was in the early 90s, or no, not early 90s, mid 90s. So it seemed like a good deal. And we started going to the gym regularly. And the people, our friends, they were a couple also, worked out with us. And at the time, they were very into Body for Life. And the Body for Life, which is Bill Phillips, he had infomercials and he had all these different supplements and things. We did not participate in any of the supplements. Our friends may have, but Adam and I did not, because we are naturally super frugal. And so the idea of spending money on vitamins and protein powder and creatine and stuff was not interesting to us. But we did begin following the sort of step up pyramid-y kind of program that Bill Phillips had, and pyramid, not like an MLM pyramid, but pyramid of when you are doing your weights, you start with very light weights. So let's say you're doing, I'm just going to make this up, dumbbell curls, and you've got a series of weights. So you would do 12 dumbbell curls with the lightest weight, and then you would move up to a heavier weight and you would do 8 dumbbell curls. And then with your heaviest weight, you would do 4. Then you'd pause, take a little break, drink some water. In our case, we were very social. So we would just kind of hang around the gym and talk quite a bit. And then we would do it backwards. So then your heaviest weights, 4 times. Then your medium weights, 8 times. And then your lightest weights, 12 times. And by the time you got to that 12 again with your lightest weights, your arms were shaking, or at least in my case, my arms were shaking. It was very challenging to eke out those last few reps. And so we did that. We had upper body day, we had lower body day, and then we also would incorporate running or different HIIT workouts. So HIIT is high intensity interval training. And that was the first time I had learned those terms, and I loved it. It felt good. My body felt good. My endorphins felt good. The challenge for me was the amount of time we were spending in the gym. We were spending about 90 minutes every time we went. And I was working and in college and wanted a social life and wanted to nap and sleep in and all of the things. But anyway, that's what we did for about 3 months. And we loved it and gave me a really nice, solid foundation for what my body was capable of and how I could use weight bearing exercises to kind of shape myself and get muscles to pop and things. On a side note, it was a weird gym. There were, and you use the word like meatheads, for lack of a better word. There are some weird, very large, muscular guys who like didn't have a neck, and they were very large, and they grunted and they dropped weights and they were really intimidating. So my friend at the time, we tried to kind of stay far away from those men. Some of them looked like personal trainers, and then other guys would come in and meet with them. And it just seemed weird, but we were young and we didn't know anything. What's fascinating is later, Adam and I, we married, we had kid number one. I ended up stopping work. And I've shared this story before, but I had been working in a county courthouse. And all of a sudden, it just didn't seem safe anymore. The Scott Peterson case was moving into the courthouse. And so I, a bailiff sort of freaked me out and made it seem like my daughter was going to get kidnapped. So I totally and completely freaked out, quit, called Adam, and we had been saving and we ended up moving to the Central Valley. So why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you all this because by the time we hopped back to the Bay Area, his gym was closed, and we were bummed because it was a nice economical gym. And later I realized that was the gym in the forefront of the Barry Bonds steroid drug scandal. So if you ever want to go down a rabbit hole, look for Barry Bonds drugs or Balco, B-A-L-C-O. That stands for a Bay Area, I don't know, lab corporation or something like that. So, but yes, that is why there were some weird, really steroidy looking people in that gym, because it happened to be a hub for where you go to get steroids and where you go to give Barry Bonds steroids. Had no idea at the time. Okay. So again, Steph, stay on topic. Why are you telling me all this? I'm telling you this because all the way through my 20s and 30s, exercise and working out was just something that I did. It most certainly was not a mind-body connection. The next time that I took yoga was we were back in the Bay Area, and we were in the Bay Area before we moved to the Central Valley. I did a mommy and me yoga class with my oldest, with a different friend of mine through a rec center, and it was fantastic. And it was one of the first times that I had moved my body postpartum, and it just felt so good to do the cat cows and the very gentle stretches. And my oldest at the time was kind of a Velcro baby, so it was a good way for her to lie on the mat next to me, see me, and often I would be like lying on my side and nursing her while stretching and doing things. She wanted to be with me. I wanted to be with her. And yoga was a nice way to incorporate it. And this particular mommy and me yoga class was sort of geared towards third and fourth trimester. So there were pregnant ladies in the room and then babies and moms up to about 3 months or so. So it was just lovely, wonderful, liked it, and sort of scratched this work, like quote unquote working out itch, without hurting myself. And I just really, really liked it. One thing that I should point out is in my 20s and working out with the heavy weights, I damaged my left knee. I probably didn't have great form, and still to this day, my left knee is a little creaky. I probably was using too heavy weights for my body and doing lunges. Also, I happened to be working, and I was wearing boots, high heel boots, and kind of wedgie shoes. And I was working with children, so I was squatting constantly in heels. And when you're doing that, your knees are over your toes in a not good way. And so I was at San Francisco State at the time, and I remember going to the campus doctor, and they did a bunch of x-rays and all this stuff, and my knee was very poppy. And I was explaining my workout schedule and my work schedule, and so he essentially told me I could choose between wearing heels and working out. And so at the time I chose heels because I'm 5 feet, and so I chose heels. So anyway, Steph at in her super early 20s might not have made the best decisions, but that is what happened. So yoga in a postpartum-y way felt really good in my body. And then later, when we did move to the Central Valley, we didn't have any money. And so there was no way I was going to join a gym. And it was too hot to run. And I couldn't run with a baby anyway. So I began looking for yoga videos. Now, at the time, I guess we had YouTube, but I certainly wasn't looking for videos on YouTube. Instead, we were going to the library and I was taking videos out from the library. So Rodney Yee had some yoga videos and he was kind of the guy at the time. And I didn't like his outfits. He had these little black Speedos and he kind of bugged me, but there was Rodney Yee at the beach doing yoga and Rodney Yee in the forest doing yoga. And so that's essentially what the videos that I was following at the time. When it comes right down to it, we all just want to climb into bed each night feeling calm, content, and at peace. We want to know that we were able to keep all the balls in the air and were productive without neglecting our own needs and wants. I know. I get it. That is why I recorded a free masterclass on the 10 things happy, successful people do each and every day, and I'd love for you to join us. Learn simple and practical tips to reclaim the sanity and joy in your home and family at stephanieoday.com/masterclass. The next time I took yoga was actually in the middle of 2008, the crockpot year. And I had been running a lot because I had signed up to do a half marathon, and I could tell that my muscles were tight and I needed to stretch. And we had a Bikram yoga studio close by. And so to reward myself for doing all of my things, I would go take a yoga class at 8 o'clock at night. Sometimes they were 9 o'clock at night. So the kids were in bed, Adam was fine. And I would drive on over in the dark and take these yoga classes. And I just remember feeling just so wonderful. The heat relaxed my shoulders that were kind of tense. And I just loved it. And I just loved it. And at the time, that particular studio was really popular. But the 9 o'clock classes or 8 o'clock at night classes, depending on the day, weren't as popular. There were times I tried different times of the day. And it was so packed that people's yoga mats were only 2 to 3 inches apart. And sometimes like people would drip sweat on me. And it was just so disgusting. And I had like sensory overload and I was not into it. But late at night, they had already turned the heater off for the day to kind of cool it off. And so it wasn't super blazing hot. I got the basics of the 26 Bikram poses and learned to love all of the different things. And I started to learn the name of the asanas and the Sanskrit names for some of them, and just really fell in love. And right around then is when I had this kind of flash impulse that this is what I want to do. This is what's right for me. I need to do this. And I also had the idea that I would like, at some point to be yoga certified and have it be my retirement job. So I always thought like, okay, Steph, when you hit 50, you'll get yoga certified. And then eventually that'll be your retirement job. And yes, I know to some, including my husband, the word retirement and job do not connect, but I always have had a bit of an entrepreneurial brain. So yes, I will probably continue to do something even when I'm quote unquote retired. So what do I do now? I get up at 4 a.m. and I get up at 4 a.m. to quote unquote work. But also I get up because it's the only time I really can get my work in and still have the time that I crave to do yoga. Sometimes I follow a video. Sometimes I follow an app. Often it's me with my journal and then my journaling worksheet. So I am always in the midst of one of the 30-day journals, and I have a stack of the daily work journaling pages. You can find the information for that at stephanieoday.com/daily, D-A-I-L-Y. I wake up at 4 and I go downstairs and I brew the coffee. And then while it's brewing, I come upstairs and I roll out my yoga mat and I get my vitamin D lamp, kind of happy light, ready to go. And my two oldest are off to college right now. So I go back and forth between whose room I'm in, depending on if someone's coming home or my oldest right now, she had the rabbit here over winter break. So there's still hay on the floor and I don't feel like I should have to vacuum it up. So I'm in my other daughter's room with the yoga mat. I don't often follow a routine. I just listen to my body and stretch and move and honor her. My body is a her. And I just listen. And so I journal and stretch and sip my coffee in a very slow, comforting way while I wake up in the morning. And then when my brain is a little bit too busy and bouncy, I come downstairs and I get to work. And that's what sort of feeds my soul and just feels so good. If you have never done any sort of yoga whatsoever, I recommend, it's funny, the safe part of me and the part that wants a release from liability wants you to go to a studio into a class to make sure that you have proper form. Probably you're not going to do that. So the realistic part of me suggests going onto YouTube and finding Adrian. So Yoga with Adrian is just precious. I adore Adrian. I think she is phenomenal. And if you have never done a yoga class, find her and follow her. You don't have to jump into anything difficult. Google Yoga for Adrian beginners. If you've got neck pain, Yoga for Adrian neck pain. If you've got hip pain, Yoga for Adrian hip pain. She's absolutely adorable. She's got a dog named Benji. She's fantastic. If you're on the go, my favorite yoga app is called Down Dog. I use this app almost daily because often I'll do my own thing in the morning and then before bed, I want 10 minutes or so. And so I'll use the Down Dog app. What I like about this app is you can decide on the level. You can decide the type of yoga you want. If it's vinyasa, which is sort of the traditional flow. If it's a hatha, which is vinyasa without chaturangas. And if you are new to yoga, don't do chaturangas. Stay away from chaturangas. You're going to damage your shoulders. Many of my friends have needed to have shoulder surgery, which I always lisp whenever I say shoulder surgery because of chaturangas. My own right shoulder is creaky and hurts. It probably is because there was a day I spent about 6 hours moving boxes at work. They were textbooks and I overdid it. But I also did not let up on my yoga practice and that was not good. So I now skip chaturangas. Yin yoga. Long, deep stretches. If you have brain chatter, yin yoga is not for you. You have to have a very calm and quiet mind because holding a pose for 90 seconds is really difficult. There's chair yoga, and I think even the Down Dog app has chair yoga. We mentioned in the last episode, that your body is something to cherish and you do have to move it or lose it. For me, what yoga has done is it's combined the perfect marrying of mind-body. So they talk about the mind-body connection. It wasn't until my mid-40s that I really understood what they were talking about. But as my anxiety grew, probably very closely tied to perimenopause symptoms, my need for calming my brain down and stretching and having this mind-body connection, it turned like a non-negotiable for me. I have to do this. I have to do this for my physical health, and I have to do this for my mental health. I want to also share one other resource that has been kind of instrumental to me, and I flip through this book often, and it's called Yoga as Medicine. And it sort of looks like a textbook. It's thick, but it talks about different ailments, different parts of your body, different diseases, different symptoms and ailments. And then it talks you through which yoga moves might be helpful. Not a cure, but helpful to move you some through some different asanas. And then before I log off, I kind of want to share, I don't know, it's a little embarrassing, but I am who I am. Dorky story of Steph. As you probably have figured out, I'm kind of a dork when it comes to acronyms, and I'm constantly sharing different acronyms with you. My decluttering acronym is PROM: purge, remove, organize, maintain. I've asked for you to rewrite FOMO, FOMO, instead of fear of missing out, to figure only myself out. I like the acronym for SLOW: simply look only within. When I have brain chatter and I'm doing yoga, I've been using a yoga acronym, and it's a way to keep me present and in the here and now. Because if I'm thinking about something in the future or ruminating about something in the past, I can't hold a pose. I'll fall over. And so yoga really is a great way to pay attention to the here and the now. So I started kind of one day scanning my brain. And by one day, we're talking, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, scanning my brain for a yoga acronym. And what popped in my brain is, you've only got one. You've only got one. So I'll be in the middle of like a dancer pose or something where I'm really trying to focus, and there's a dristi, and a dristi is a focus point on the other side of the room, and I'm really focusing on it. And what's chanting through my brain is, you've only got one. You've only got one. It's okay, Steph. One more breath. You've got it. You've only got one. You've only got one. You can do this, Steph. You're doing a great job. You've only got one. And so I have shared this with friends. I've brought it up on different coaching calls. I wrote about it once. And then a few weeks ago, I shared it with Adam. And while I'm talking, his face is looking visibly uncomfortable, and he wants to interrupt me, and he's wiggling around in his chair, but he also knows that I hate being interrupted. And so finally I'm like, what? What? He says, Steph, yoga is spelled with an A. I'm like, yeah. He's like, so your acronym is YOGO. That's not yoga. That's yogo. And I just like burst into like huge belly laughter. Because the idea that I'm such a dork and have constantly gotten my own acronym wrong for so many years is just absurd to me. But I am who I am, and that is who I am, and it's ridiculous. So use it if you want. Yogo, you've only got one, which probably is better than YOLO, which is you only live once. Because I think what happens with YOLO is people take unnecessary risks when they hear the term YOLO, and I'm not about that. I'm about monitoring and taking calm, slow, steady, thoughtful, quote unquote, risks, and analyzing and pontificating about what the next right step to take is. And it's certainly not YOLO. But maybe Maybe it's yoga. You've only got one. You've only got this one next thing to do. And set the timer for 10 minutes and do the thing. Do the thing. All right, pretty people. Thank you. If you do yoga, let me know. Email me. I'm at steph@stephanieoday.com. I'm a real person. I answer my email. If you follow me on Instagram, which you should, at Stephanie O'Day, you can find me on Facebook. We do have a Slow Down Society Facebook group. If you're not on the newsletter, you can get yourself on the newsletter by going to stephanieoday.com. And in it, I share a link to the O'Day. I think in Facebook it's called O'Day Book Club is the backslash, but we call it the Slow Down Society. But we'd love to have you. Introduce yourself. Tell us what you're all about. And if you've been practicing yoga for a while, let me know. I should probably mention the whole Bikram thing before I hit end recording. Bikram is not a nice guy. Bikram yoga, actually, many yoga studios are shying away from using his name because he's a predator. He's not a nice guy. I think there's a Netflix documentary on him, which I watched. There's a 30 by 30 sports podcast where they do a deep dive on Bikram. He's just not a nice guy. That said, those 26 poses, I enjoy. I use them. The Down Dog app has the sequence and they just call it Hot 26 or 26. And you can do the poses at home in your own house. You can go to a studio, but chances are they might just call it Hot Yoga or Hot 26 Yoga, and they've dropped his name because he's a predator. Okay, that was all of my disclaimers, all of my caveats. All right, pretty people, consider yourself loved and hugged. I think you are absolutely wonderful. I will see you again in your earbuds next week.
Do you have a slow living story to share? Leave me a voicemail at stephanieoday.com/podcast with any questions, comments, feedback, or testimonials, and I will be sure to include it in an upcoming episode. Also, if you found value in this episode, please share it with your family and friends and subscribe through your favorite podcast provider. The more you share, comment, and leave positive reviews, the more people we can reach and share the slow living lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have an absolutely wonderful day.